Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh. I'm glad this week is over. I need to get away. Go home and throw my clothes on. Come get you right away. Can't wait to see you looking lovely. I hope you're thinking of me. Cause all I want is time with you. And don't need nothing more.
I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry, my other line dropped off. I don't know. I was using I'm trying to use two phones because usually one phone will run out of battery, so I'm trying to use one as a backup. So forgive me, you guys, about the delay when I was cut off. As I was saying, we're going to also be joined by authoress Patricia Duncan. She's the author of A Defining Moment. And I really want to get into that book because it's about our president, Barack Obama. So I want to really see what that is about. I do have the, both young ladies on the line right now. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Patricia first. Patricia, if you can hear me, say hello and how are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me? You're going in and out.
Oh, I can hear you fine. Okay. I'm so sorry. I normally, sometimes the show goes smooth, sometimes it just does not. And tonight, I guess I'm having one of those just not moments. So I hope it doesn't go this way the entire segment, but hopefully we'll get it done. I can hear you fine. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. Good. Having a great day. My book was nominated for an NAACP Image Award, an Outstanding Literary Work for a Debut Author. And I just got information back about my tickets to go to the show.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
We're going to get into a lot of things about you in your book. And well, that is amazing. I do want to say congratulations on that. That is to be nominated or even receive any achievements as black authors, especially, is a great thing because we work so hard and people do not understand. So congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Well, before we get into the pages of your book, we need to get to know a little bit about you. Give us a little background about yourself, like where you're from, where you were born and raised, and are you married, kids? Give us a little personal information about you.
Okay. I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado, which is where I reside now. I am the proud mother of two grown daughters. I'm 20, soon to be 27 and soon to be 30. One lives in Atlanta, Georgia, a place where she's always wanted to live, and the other one, the oldest one, lives here. I'm coming on a 29-year anniversary. My husband, who is a captain on the Denver Fire Department, and
wow.
He's been doing that for 30 years. And so what's so amazing in all of this is that he always wanted to be a firefighter, and he had a dream of being a captain. Well, he became a firefighter. He went through every rank of being a firefighter, and now he's a captain on the fire department. So he's a few months from being able to drop and get ready to retire in 5 years. So it's pretty amazing in his story. So and then in my story is I'm a photographer. I've done a lot of things in my life. I've been pretty fortunate. My dream job was to be a flight attendant. And I did that, and then I was with this airline called Branham, so the older listeners would know about that airline. And it filed bankruptcy six years. I had been flying 6 years, and it filed bankruptcy. So I gave up flying to be a mother, and I did other things, like I worked in professional sports, worked for Federal Express, always did parties. My mother was a caterer, and so I would always start things and never finish it. Well, my sister was the first black Secretary of State of Colorado. And she was elected in 94, and she was a Republican. Well, Colorado at that time was a Republican state. But, you know, just a black woman being elected in Colorado was huge. And then she was reelected and passed away 6 months. Well, into her second term. And she did great things, is that she started at the bottom of the Secretary of State's office as a part-time clerk, and 22 years later became Secretary of State. So I always had an example. My daughters, you know, her sons always had this example. Well, I'm creative. I start things. I never finish them. I finished this book.
So what actually inspired you to sit down and do this book? Where did that motivation come from?
The motivation came from, one, with my sister winning Colorado, the president winning Colorado. That was one. But two, I had so many pictures. I'm talking about I have over 5,000 pictures of the president. And I would look at people like in Philadelphia and D.C. and other places, and I would just see how they would cry just to see him, just be in his presence. And I remember the people were the same way about my sister. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a book. I'm going to do a book about the president's journey to the White House. And since all these pictures are in Colorado, it will be a Colorado book. And that's what inspired me.
So when you sat down to actually do this book, now, I'm going to ask, have you actually ever met our president? Have you sat down and chat with him? Like, where did you get most of your information from when you sat down to write this book?
Okay. The book is a coffee table book. And so it has over 300 colored pictures in the book.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so, like I said, I'm a freelance photographer, and I am a contributing photographer for the black newspapers here in Denver and in Colorado Springs. So that is how I got access to have the pictures.
Okay, so it is more like a keepsake, like a memoirs of his candidacy and his time in office and things like that.
Yeah, the best way to describe it is I give you history all in one book. So I take you on a presidential journey, on Barack Obama's presidential journey. But the journey starts when I start with him, which is in October of 2006, when he came to Colorado to campaign with this congressman. And this lady called and asked me, would I take pictures? And the first thing I said to her is, who is Barack Obama? And she looked at me and she said, I don't believe you said that. I said, well, the truth, I don't know who he is. She said, well, Patty, senator out of Chicago. I said, okay, no problem. So I went and I took pictures, and I said, well, let me, you know, I mean, these people were so excited to see him. And I said, well, let me put my camera down, let me listen to him. So I said, after he finished, I said, ooh, if this man runs for president of the United States, there's my candidate. So the book starts out, it's called Cost of Admission. And you're going to see about what this candidate was saying about Barack Obama, because he was a Hillary Clinton supporter. Okay? So now he announces on February 10th, 2007. So I take you on a full journey from October 2006 to the inauguration. So there's over 13 speeches in their entirety in the book. There is a complete coverage of the DNC. There are speeches from the DNC that are also historic because you have the first Speaker of the House female. You have Ted Kennedy's speech in there, who died a year to the date of his speech. You have Mrs. Obama's speech in there. You have his sister's speech in there. You have all those speeches. And you have pictures that to go along with this. And then he was in Colorado so much, that's why I have so many pictures. But you also have speeches to go along with it. So every speech that you think of is in the book. How the United States
So what
States
makes
voted.
This book relevant to families? Like, as a, you know, when you sat down and do this book, when you in your mind, what type of reaction or message were you looking for? What makes this book relevant for readers, or not even just readers, but society to have.
Okay. Well, when I did the book, was Behind the Eight Ball, okay, because there were so many books out about the president that I was like, okay, nobody's going to buy that book. Okay, it's got pictures you've never seen before. How can I make this book different to make people want to buy it? So one is the project. So then I'm keeping it reasonable. The book is $33. I'm thinking about my seniors and I'm thinking about my kids in high school. So what can I do to make it different? Okay, I'm going to take you on a journey of what it does to campaign as president. But what makes this book relevant is that Barack Obama is the American president. You cannot write him out of history. He is the 44th president of the United States of America. And every important speech that he gave, which was during his first campaign, is in the book. All the way down to the oath of office is on the back of the book. That's what makes it relevant.
Wow.
So you won't have to go different places. Say you're looking for the announcement speech. It's in the book. You're looking for the race speech. It's in the book. You're looking for his acceptance speech as a Democratic nominee. It's in the book. You're looking for his inaugural address. It's in the book. So you won't have to look anymore for his speeches within that journey from 2007 when he announced to the inauguration on 1/20/2009. I have, in the book, it has how the United States of America voted from down to the electoral, to McCain, to Obama. It's going to be relevant that the president get at least 70% of those votes again for him to get reelected. On the next page, a lot of people don't understand the Electoral College, how it works. Well, we explain it to you. So now you're going to go in there and you're going to say, okay, now I have his speeches. If I take the time to read it, I know what his platform was at the beginning. I know what he promised us. Did he keep those promises? Which he did in a lot of them, because I also did another little accomplished book. And I can look at what his platform is going to be for 2012.
Right. So with this, what message were you setting out to send when you put this book together? What message were you trying to send out to not just America, because is your book sold nationwide? I mean, like in other countries as well, or is it just in the U.S.?
It's sold in Canada, I know for
okay.
sure. And I think you can get it in London. I'm getting ready to do a trade show, and hopefully they'll pick it up in Europe and in China. It's amazing how many places the president is respected. But when I did this book, the bottom line is I completed it. I completed a project. That was my number one, because I never completed anything. And it took me 2 years to do this book. And in this, my mom was sick. My mom died. I was going to quit. You know, and all I could do was look up to God for guidance. And just one day I kept putting it down, picking it up, putting it down, picking it up. Then I got to get it, you know, people to invest in the printing of the book. And, and finally one day God said, I'm not letting you put it down no more. You got to get this done. And I did. And so the last page of the book is called A Defining Moment, End Up Being a Journey Defined by God.
So when you decided to go ahead and get this book completed, when you finally had your finished product, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm done, what route did you take to actually publish it? Did you go self-publishing, traditional publishing? What route did you take to actually get your book in print?
I started my own publishing company.
And that, you know, that is the most sensible route, and a lot of new authors are taking that route nowadays because we can't sit around and wait for some big publishing house to tell us, no, we don't want this, when you know your product is good. So that was a courageous step to take, and I'm glad you did because you're setting a mark. You're leaving something for our families to pass on generation after generation because it is a historical event. He's the first African-American president, and that is a huge deal. I took 40-some-odd terms to actually get a black president in office. That is monumental. So I do applaud your efforts and your mission, and that's a great work. That is a great work, so I compliment you on that.
Thank you, thank you. But, you know, like I try to tell people, you know, he's not black history. He's American history. And no matter how they keep wanting to write out things and write out things that happened in our Tuskegee Airmen, all of that, they can't write him out. They cannot write him out.
Yeah.
And for that, I just, more than anything, I just want us to remember that. When they say all of this, negative stuff that's going on, all this hatred and stuff going on, you know, you can still look at him and say, well, if by chance he doesn't get elected, you still got to look at his face every time you look at that number 44 of the president.
And I honestly do think that he's going to be reelected. I can't see the future. I'm not God. I can't call it, but I have a very strong feeling that he's going to stay in office. I really do. I honestly do.
Yeah, and I feel the same, and therefore, you know, I'm not one. Now that I know how to complete things and start it and finish it, you know, now I'm going to start a women's group here in Colorado. It's called Black Women for Obama, and we're going to concentrate on voter registration because we're a voter suppression state. And so, you know, I'm one to put my money where my mouth is. And I've already, you know, got pictures of him now. Am I going to do another book? I'm going to answer your question. No, I'm not. This is the end of my being an author, and, you know, I'm proud of myself. But
What are some of the feedback you've been getting from the book? What have the readers or the public been saying about the book?
Oh, they love the book. I haven't had, you know, one bad thing said about the book. The price of the book, once they look at the book, they love the pictures. You know, for some people, they remember being here in Colorado during the DNC, and it brings back such fond memories. The sad thing about is what I've heard is how black people, how much they despise the president. The president's the man, because they're blaming him for their demise. They like the book and all that. It's just amazing the things that they say about the president. I mean, he has no control over if they have a job or not. I mean, if you really think about it, he can't go out and hire you. He can't go out and start a company. That's what Congress is all about. So that's the only thing that you know, bothers me, and that kind of upsets me.
And with that said, though, that just comes from the amount of ignorance, because the society has to realize it doesn't matter who sits in office or who's in office. Your personal experience or your personal journey as an individual, you can't blame others. It's not you're right. It's not Obama's fault that you got laid off or you don't have a job or you can't find a job. It's not his fault, but every individual case, you can't put the blame on anybody. We all have good times, bad times, ups and downs, and we all struggle. So I can't sit and point the finger at Obama or my mother or my spouse. You know what I'm saying? Some things just,
exactly.
You have to point the finger at yourself sometime and realize, what are you doing to make a change in your life? People can't make a change for you.
So that is true.
Wow. You answered my question already. You're not working on any more novels or any more books, so there's no new genres coming for you. But and I'm gonna tell you like this honestly, Patricia. Never say never, because I used to be a never will write a sequel kind of girl, and I'm that no more, because it goes by what the public wants. You know, I had a lot of readers who loved my first book, who demanded basically a sequel. I finally sat down and did one. So you never know his next term when he runs. It may be some new adventures in Obama's life that you may want to illustrate. So never say never. You have no intentions on it, but if the opportunity arises, I'm pretty sure you'll take it, because it looks like you will be perfect for the job.
You know, I mean, and the thing that I loved about it was my team, was teamwork, and I call my team a defining moment. Because there was two other photographers besides myself. Then there's my writers, even though the bulk of the text is the president's speeches. But we did some writing, too. Like, there's a piece called A Defining Moment. And this young man is an incredible writer. And so he wrote A Defining Moment. And then we have interviews. We have an interview with Federico Pena, who was the president national co-chair. And we have an interview with Ed Perlmutter, that's the congressman. And then what we did is we did a story from Philadelphia to D.C., you know, how he took the train from Philadelphia to D.C. So we did the same thing. We did that little train ride, gave you some little history about that, and then you go into the inaugural address. So the pictures you've never seen before, because like I said, the bulk, all the pictures are in Colorado. And he did big things in Colorado. The largest rally ever in history was in Colorado, 105,000 people. Right. Of course, you know, the DNC was historic for us and definitely for him. And so these are just, you know, pictures that you've never seen before. So I just, and I tried to show you what it's like to get ready for to go to Secret Service, what it looked like when they were preparing for the people. So I just really tried to put you on this journey, on his journey. And,
right.
But everybody goes through that, you know. All candidates go through that, whether they're president or running for Secretary of State or running for mayor.
You know, right.
It's all that way, so.
Well, we really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, Patricia, and
giving us a
little bit of American history with our first black president, Barack Obama. I encourage everyone that's listening, whether it doesn't matter your race, nationality, this is not black history. As Patricia said, this is American history, and this is something that needs to be passed down generation to generation, like any other president that we still talk about today. We still talk about Lincoln and what he did, and still talk about what all these other infamous presidents did in their terms. So it has to be talked about with Obama, because it was a huge accomplishment. So we thank you, Patricia, for sitting down and actually illustrating something to give us back something to say, okay, we did it, we made a mark, you know. It was a long time coming. So every effort that you made to put this book together, even to self-publish it, was a job in itself. So we thank you for your contribution to our black American history.
Thank you. So thank you so much for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it. And if they want to learn more about the book and how to get the book, they can go to my website, which is www.adefinmoment.com. So it's adefymoment.com.
Right, and that was going to be my next question. As always, before we close out, we need to get your contact information, and if you have any events coming up in the near future where our readers can come out and maybe get a signed copy of the book. Do you have anything coming up soon?
Well, the my next thing that's coming up, like I said, is I'm going to be going to L.A. on the 16th for the NAACP Image Awards show. The show's actually going to air live on the 17th on NBC. So depending on what time zone your listeners are in, it comes on at between 8 and 10 Eastern time on the 17th. the actual show.
Right. Okay,
so
and that would be 6 and 9 Central Time. Okay.
Yeah, it'll be between, yeah. No, 7, is it 7? 7 to
you
9?
You said 7 to 10. What was that, 7 to 10?
No,
so that means
8 to 10 Eastern.
So if it's 8 to 10 Eastern, it's 6 to 9 Central because we're hour different. I'm sorry, 7
okay.
to 9, 7 to 9, 7 to 9.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm in Colorado just doing some book signings and stuff here in Colorado. I won't start traveling again probably till about April.
Right. Yeah, that's when we usually start getting on the road around that springtime. So do you have
mm-hmm.
a website also where our readers can visit you? Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can give us your website.
My website is A Defy Moments. So it's A D E F I N M O M E N T .com.
Alrighty.
And Pat Duncan on Facebook. And the easiest way is to put Pat Duncan, Denver, Colorado, and the cover of my book comes up. So that's how you know that's me.
All right. Well, we do appreciate you, Ms. Duncan, for everything you've done. You know, I have to now go online and order because I need that in my house, even if it's just sitting on my coffee table after me and my family go through it. That's something that people need to see. So I wish you all the success with your first and maybe only published book. But we never know. Hopefully we'll see you again. And if we do, always feel free to come back and hang out with us.
Oh, I would love to. And I hope that I get a chance to meet you. Hopefully we'll be on the road at the same some of these events coming up and conferences and stuff. I would love to meet you. And hopefully your listeners, if they, you know, I know I'm going to be in New Orleans. I'm going to be in Houston. And hopefully I'll get a chance, you know, to meet them. That would be wonderful.
Well, if you're going to be in Houston at the National Black Book Festival, you would definitely meet me there. This will be my third year going, so you'll definitely see me there.
I will definitely be there. I will be there.
All righty. Well, you have a wonderful night, and thank you for hanging out with us, Patricia.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
All righty. Now, we were just joined by Ms. Patricia Duncan. Ms. Patricia Duncan, she has done an amazing thing. She has put together a great book for us about our president, the first black president at that. It's called A Defining Moment, Barack Obama, the Historical Journey to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So go on Amazon, pick it up, add it to your Kindles. And I do honestly probably recommend that you guys want to get it in hardback so you can have a piece of history, our history, not just black history, but American history, because it is a life-changing moment, our first black president. So make sure you guys get that for you, but not just yourself, your family, your friends, and share with them also. We're going to take our second hour and hang out with our next guest, Ms. Jay Henderson. She's the author of Someday. I'm going to bring her on without further ado so she can introduce herself. Jay, if you can hear me, say hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for
having
me.
Thank you for patiently waiting for us to get around to you. I usually get calls a little earlier before the show starts, but it's like you guys both called in the same exact time. And then my show started in like 30-some seconds, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you and Patricia prior to the show to let you know who was going to go on first. So I apologize.
You know, that's okay. I really did enjoy listening to her interview, and I'll definitely check her book out. I mean, I'm all about supporting other authors, so no problem whatsoever.
Oh, you know, thank you. And I was like, when I got the info on YouTube, I'm like, wow. She actually put a together a piece on Barack. Now, I was a little afraid because I'm not big on politics, you know. You know, I'm not the politic person, so I was a little nervous about the interview, but that went well, thank God.
Don't feel bad. I'm not hugely into politics myself.
Well, with that said, we're going to move on and talk about you and your work someday. First, before we get into your book, of course, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and just a little personal history about you.
Well, I'm a native of Memphis, Tennessee. I have a very varied background. I would say my career started in radio. I worked for years at Clear Channel Radio here in Memphis, where I hosted a talk show for youth. In college, I was an intern to the Tom Jordan Morning Show and had the opportunity to write for the show for a little while. I stayed at the radio station about 6 years as the assistant director of community affairs. And then I went into marketing and public relations. And I started doing a blog called I'mAGoodWoman.com. And that blog led to articles, and those articles led to a novel. And the purpose of what I do is I say my theme is inspiring women to greatness. My whole goal is to inspire, uplift, and encourage women to live a life of upstanding morals and to achieve their dreams.
Wow. And that's putting your best foot forward. That is amazing. And I'm like, I hope you do got some Tom Jordan hookups, because somebody needs to be on his show for my books. Wow.
We all like to be on his show.
I know, girl. It's like just one morning. Just give me a 3-minute slot. Just let me tell the titles of my book. That'll be enough. Well, I do see now. I got the current book information for Someday. But is Someday a sequel, or is it a part two? Did you have another literary work out before Someday? Tell us about your writing journal journey. Like, where did it start? What motivated you to actually put your books in novel format? Because I understand you did a lot of communications and journalist things, but what made you sit down and say, I want to do a novel format?
Well, I don't think I ever set out to write a novel. I just sat down and started writing, and the words just kept flowing. And before I knew it, I had over 100 pages, but I sat on them for years before I did anything about it. But then one day, you know, I was flipping through my files, and I was like, you have written quite a bit. So either you're going to publish it or you're not, one or the other. And I decided to publish it. And Someday has turned into a trilogy. The first book is Someday. The second book is Someday 2, which will be out probably in about the next week or so. And then the third one I'm hoping will be out later on this year. And basically, it's just a continuation of I'm a Good Woman. What I do, I call moral messaging. I mean, I don't want to preach at you, because I do inspirational romance. Some people call it Christian romance. I figure if people want to be preached at, they'll go to church. But I can put things in a story form where you learn a lesson.
Right. So is the novel based on one particular character? If it is, tell us a little bit about this character and what her role is and what's going on with this character.
Well, I have two main characters, but the main female character, her name is T. She's an event planner, a very successful one, has done a lot of celebrity functions, and she's at what I call the someday phase, where you have the dream job, you have the house, you have the car, but what's missing is someone to share it with. A lot of single women find themselves in that place. You've worked hard, you've achieved so much of your dreams, but that Prince Charming you're waiting on hasn't arrived yet. And I begin by encouraging women to count their blessings and be thankful for what you do have. You don't want to be so hung up on what you don't have that you forget how blessed you are. I mean, you eat every day, you have clothes on your back, a car to drive, a job. I mean, there are so many people who don't have those things right now. So don't take them for granted. Recognize them for what they are, which are blessings.
Right,
but
right.
The book, that certain someone does come along. He's a retired NFL player named Michael. But, of course, Michael comes with his own baggage. He has a stalker. So the book takes an interesting twist, and it becomes about how they struggle to stay alive in order to stay together.
Wow. Wait, now, see, and you know what? And it's so funny, because I just released a sequel to my first book. That's the first book I wrote a stalker in, you know. Mm-hmm. I done had some obsessed women, but with this stalker person, what's the stalker name in the book? We want to give this stalker a name.
Her name is Becca.
honestly, as an author, as a writer, be honest with me, Jay. Did you have fun writing Stalker's stuff? Like, when you were working on her
part? Of course.
Were you, like, laughing? Really? Be honest.
Because certain characters you are able to have so much fun with, because if you're a stalker, there's just, I mean, depending on who you are and what you're going through, there's a tad bit of insanity going on. So you can,
right.
So then there's chaos and there's erratic behavior, and you can just take it in any direction, let your imagination lead you, and have fun with it. Have this person do things that you would never do.
Exactly. You can be so over the top with a stalker. I was like, oh, I'm going to let this chick be crazy. I want to be bananas. You know? So that's just like a fun experience. So I had to ask because I wrote my first stalker, too, and I had a ball writing my stalker part. I mean, I just wanted to know, did you have fun writing your stalker part? Because I know I did.
I did. Like I said, I was able to make her do things that a normal person would never do. I mean, just step into that realm of what it would be like if you were obsessed with someone and you were determined to make them yours at all costs or else.
Right. That's what stalkers do, pretty much. Now, tell me this. When you decided to put together this book and put it in book format, what was your motivation for publishing? Did you say, okay, I'm going to wait until I get this big publishing deal, or did you do the print on demand, or did you say, no, I'm taking charge, I'm just going to self-publish? How did you actually put your works in print?
Well, I actually have a good friend that is self-published, and she went through a boutique agency and was very unpleased with the results. And so she started her own publishing company because her thing was nobody should make more money than the author. And so I was one of the people that she brought under her umbrella when the publishing company launched. So I've been blessed to have somebody who's done this a few times and was able to lead and guide me through the process. And don't get me wrong, it was still a learning experience for myself, and there were a few glitches along the way. And, of course, when you're self-published, your marketing and PR, it's on you.
Right.
So
you're right.
That's something else that you have to contend with. But you know, I guess I'm blessed in the fact that's my profession. So it was a little easier for me than some. But, of course, it's still a challenge when you're a debut author and people aren't familiar with you. You have to get out there and let them know who you are and why they should read your book.
Right. And it's okay for you to say your author friend name. Give them a plug.
By all means, her name is Latrice.
Her name and her titles of her book, too.
And she specializes in interracial romance. Her big thing right now is the Medlov crime series, in which she deals with Russian mafia.
Okay. And what's her name?
Latrivia L. Nelson.
Okay. See, now people are going to go online and look up Latrivia also.
Check out the River House family, please.
All African American authors, if they do anything, they do anything. It's okay to give a plug, a shout out. We don't care because we want people reading. Because, you know, with my tribe, I've only been published since 08. Haven't been in the industry too long. But in my journey, I've learned and noticed that people really, really had this misconception that we don't read, that blacks don't read. And they had this thing that we put out garbage. They think that all of our stuff is about hoes and pimps and gangbangers and things like that. When we have such a mixture and a variety of black African-American authors that's doing so much. I didn't have authors on the show now that does sci-fi, romance, thrillers. And it's like books that you never expect. We don't write just ghetto fabulous books. We have some talented artists out there. So our job here is to uplift us all. Whatever you're doing, we respect it. Like I say, I didn't expect Patricia to have a political her book is more so of a picture book than a novel. But she's done something. So, hey, we uplift them all. So if you want to shout out. We don't have a problem with that. Hello?
Well, I'm glad that you have this type of outlet where people can come and be uplifted and give shout-outs. And the fact, anyone that says we only write ghetto novels, that's somebody with a closed mind who hasn't done their research. Anybody that bothers to do the research will find out that we write all genres.
All genres. So what are the reactions have you been getting from readers that have read this book? What type of feedback are you getting? And be honest with the negative and the positive, because we have to talk about both. Because some people, you know, I learned the hard way that you can't please everybody. So somebody's going to always have something to say. So what type of feedback have you been getting about your novel?
I've gotten some really positive feedback, especially from single women who are trying to live a godly life, because my characters are celibate. And anybody will tell you that is not an easy journey, and a lot of people appreciate the fact that I didn't paint it to be a rosy picture, that it's a day-to-day battle with your flesh. A lot of people appreciated that. And I also gave scriptures that you could refer to, and I gave real-life examples of some of the situations that you may encounter, because not every man is going to be able to contend with that.
Right, right. You're right. So do you see yourself writing other genres than the one you've chose? Do you see yourself stepping out of the box, or are you a type of writer? Like myself, I write what I know. I don't know what God has in store for me. If God put something else on my heart, hey, I'll go for it. But I'm kind of the stick with what I know type of writer. But or what are you? Do you think you can broaden out and expand and write a little something different, or this is what you are comfortable with and this is what you want to stick with?
Well, initially, that's what God has given me. And if he moves me to write in a different genre, I will. But right now, I'm in inspirational fiction. I'm dedicated to at least these first three books, and then we'll see what happens.
So give us a little preview, then, or I guess a little sneak peek at what's the sequel about. Because we understand that this part one is about this character and the she's successful and things like that, and she has the ex-NFL player, and he has a stalker that has some issues with the turbulence. Does the second book start off with this character, same character, or do you move on with a new set of characters with a whole new storyline?
Well, T and Michael are still a focal point of the book, but in one, I briefly introduce T's female friends, her girlfriends, and I delve more into their lives in the second book. There's Tiffany, who has a married lover who is also the father of her child, and she is trying to break that bond and move on with her life, but she's always been a kept woman. He's always taking care of her, and she's trying to deal with the fact that if I leave him, I've got to go to work and take care of me and my child myself. There's Lanice, who has been a man-hater. She's had some very bad experiences with love, and she just turned into this person that thinks that all men are horrible. She realized she had a problem, and now she's trying to deal with it. She's going to therapy. She's trying to date again. She's trying to move on and stop trying to see all men as dogs. And there's her twin sister, Lenora, who has a battle with her weight. Lanice and Lenora used to both be fairly thin, and now Lenora is no longer thin. So she is dealing with her weight and also the fact that her spouse is very unhappy about the weight, and he seems to be moving away from her because of it. So these are all some issues that these women are dealing with that I introduce in book two, and how they go about dealing with them in order to still hold on to their faith and hold on to themselves while trying to please their mate or gain a mate.
Right, and these are all realistic topics. These are all topics that exist in everyday women. So these stories need to be told. And I'll say something when you say your last character, Lenora. This is the thing, and I'm telling you now, and it may not, Lord knows, I hope not, but I can tell you with Jay, with that concept, my first published novel is called Now You Want to Come Back. And the main core of the problem was the wife gained weight and the husband started tripping, and the husband leaves, moves on, and did her wrong, you know, put her down, things like that, and she meets a new guy. And so once she gets herself together, of course, the ex-husband wants her back. And the whole battle was, you know, should I stay or should I go? So that's the gist of the book. Do you know, honestly, the negative feedback that I get from that book is that they think that you're copying. That I always get, my book sounds like a Tyler Perry movie. My book sounds like Why Did I Get Married, I guess, with the Sheila and Mike situation. And that's going to be I say prepare for that negative feedback, because people think that it's so, I guess, cliche or somebody's copying, but they don't understand that this goes on in a lot of homes. It's not just one individual that's affected by this. It's several individuals affected by it. So it's always a different perspective or a different story to be told on the same topic manner. So like the man-hating and like, you know, or like you have women as gold diggers. We always have the same scenario. People have to understand that there's nothing new under the sun. So,
no, there isn't. What's new is the way that each of us present it, because we all have a different perspective on everything. I mean, how I see a situation may not be the way you see the situation, but the same thing is going on, and we're both looking at it.
Right, and that's the thing, and that's the only negative feedback I hate from the book is that people don't compare it. It happens no matter what book you pick up. You're going to find some type of, similarity in my book or the next book or the next book, because these are topics that people exist. If an author comes out with something completely new that's bizarre, it has to be science fiction because that's make-believe. Because if you talk about life, 9 times out of 10 is going to hit home for somebody's household.
So true.
So with this, with the next book that you have coming out, part two, someday, is it coming out soon? Because I know you just released, you're just releasing someday part one. Are you done with? Out in the near future?
Actually, someday came out in February of last year, so it's been almost a year. So the sequel will be out. The ebook should be out by the end of the week, and then I'm hoping to have paperback copies by the second week in February. So very soon. For those of you who have already read Someday, I appreciate you, and I've received several emails from people who are waiting on the sequel, and I'm trying not to make you wait much longer.
And I'll tell people, too, and this is just my advice, because I'm looking at your account on Amazon, and I actually just downloaded the book. Patricia's book, I definitely want to get the actual book. I don't want to have that on Kindle. But I just purchased the book now, and I'm looking at some of your reviews, and I'm looking at your book been out since February of 2011, and you're sitting at 12 reviews. Although they're excellent reviews, I'm just going to say out to the listeners that's listening, if you have read this book and you did enjoy it, please go back and just leave a review. I don't care if it's 20 words. Just leave a review. Leave your positive feedback, because that encourages other readers to actually try this book by Jay Henderson. If the more good reviews you have, the more people are out to buy. So if you enjoyed this book, if this book was a great read for you, go back. Go leave a review. Go say something. Say something positive so you can build Jay's reviews and get more people interested in buying her books. Because if you're reading a book and it's good, whether it's my book, Jay's book, Tamika's book, or whoever book, and you enjoy it, I don't care how small the review is. Just say, yes, I had fun. I enjoyed the book. That is enough. That's enough to make someone else say, okay, I'll try it.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah, because I know, trust me, it's a struggle. People who send me emails all the time, but people, I get the emails and I get your feedback, but other readers need to know your feedback way more than I do. So try to put the reviews out there so other readers can see them versus getting the review back to the author. Because we feel like we wrote a good book already, but everybody else needs to know that the book is good. So with you, what's coming up for you? Do you have any signing schedule? Do you have any appearances coming up right here in the near future? What's going on with you now? Where are you going to be?
Well, right now, most of my appearances will be locally. I'm getting ready to do the launch of Someday 2. I probably won't start making more trips, kind of like Miss Patricia, until April. I have a couple of conferences coming up that I'm planning on going to. But right now, it's pretty much in the Memphis area. But you can always find me online at jhendersonauthor.com, and J is spelled J-A-E and then H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N. And you can also check out my women's motivational blog, imagoodwoman.com.
All righty. Wow. And where can, besides Amazon, where else can listeners get the book?
It's also on Barnes & Noble. You can get it directly from me. And then at bookstores, even if they don't have it in stock, any bookstore in the United States is able to order my book and have it there for you in a couple of days.
Wow, okay. Well, do you have a website? Do you have a place where they can get a personalized copy from you? Like, is it somewhere they can go to get a signed copy?
Of course. You can go to my website, jhendersonauthor.com, and I also have a store on Amazon. If you look for I'm a Good Woman, that's me, and you can purchase it. It'll say get an autographed copy from the author, so you'll know that's me, and you can get it from there as well.
Wow. We wish you all the success in the world, Jay. And I am, like I tell people all the time, I have several authors a week on the show, and I try my best to support everybody I have on the show, or even other authors, because I'm a fan of a lot of other authors too. But it may take me a while to read your book, but when I'm done, I will definitely post a review. I know how important they are, and I do wish you success in all that you do. And when I know this is fairly close to the second edition being released, when you're done with the third edition and you're ready to release, definitely get back with us, and we'll have you back on the show to promote that. And we just wish you all the success. Congratulations and good luck, because I know it's not easy, but hang in there, keep pushing. Girl, it will pay off. Trust me, I'm starting to see the difference.
Well, I really appreciate the words of encouragement. We as authors and we as women, we need to encourage each other more, and I wish the same to you. Nothing but success.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jay. And also, make sure to get a review through AANBC, which is our actual book club. You can contact Tamika Newhouse to do that and actually send your book in. And AANBC will actually do a professional review for you, and we'll post it at all outlets where books are sold. So that's another option you do have to actually get the word out.
Oh, well, thank you for the information. I'll get on that.
All righty. Well, you have a lovely night. I'm about to get ready for the game in an hour, so I have to go and do a couple chores so I can watch my show. So whenever you want to come back, definitely holler back at us.
I sure will. Thank you again.
All righty. Everybody, we were just joined by two wonderful new authors. We were joined by Ms. J. Henderson, and earlier in the hour, we were joined by Patricia Duncan. These sisters are out there trying to make it happen like we all are, so definitely, definitely, definitely support them. And if you're not interested in their style of writing or in their genres, that's cool too, but you have to share the information. Tell the next person in the cubicle next to you at work that you know they love inspirational books to read, Jay's books. If you have that one person at work that's a politician, it's all about politics, definitely tell them about Patricia's books. And always support our authors. And, again, share the information of the show, let others know to tune in, because it might be an author online or on the show that someone's very interested in, that that'd be interested in getting their books. So for those who don't know, Now You Want to Come Back To, it's actually on Kindle now, so you can actually go to Amazon.com to download it, and we will definitely be back on February 2nd in a couple of days on Thursday with two new authors. You guys have a great night.